Welcome to the IC Medan podcast. We are so glad and wanted to thank you for joining us today. If you want to know more about who we are, our service times and location, or how can you get involved, you can check our website at icmedan.com. We hope you enjoy the message.
All right, good afternoon. How are you guys? That good, huh? That's great. How are you guys? All right, that's better. Man, it's so good to see you guys. I'm so glad to be home. Turn to someone around you and say, it is so good to be home. Say, I'm back home, but you're at home, right? This is our home together. Even if you are a VIP with us, can we give the VIPs a hand? If you're a VIP, if this is your first time with us, it's very important to us that you also feel at home. So welcome. We're thankful that you're joining us today. I'm excited about this new series. You know, I mean, Carrie and I just got back 2 days ago. So if I look tired, it's because I still have a little jet lag. As a matter of fact, this morning I woke up, I guess it was 1 a.m., 1:30, and Pastor Carrie was in the kitchen cooking grilled chicken and bok choy. And so at like 1:30 or 2 o'clock this morning, we were eating. It wasn't like a breakfast meal. It wasn't lunch at 2 a.m. I don't know what we were eating. I don't know why we were eating. We're just wide awake. And we couldn't go back to sleep after that. So we've been up since like 1 a.m., mainly because we're excited about church and jet lag and all of those things. It's exciting to be back home. And we really feel the joy like Pastor Carrie was talking about. And I've had Me I Am Golden Yin twice since I've been home. And I had Mi Goreng Hokkien. I had dendeng three times. Like, I'm just trying to catch up on my food. Dendeng three times. That's dendeng, dendeng, dendeng. That's Tiga Kali. So, yeah, I still have some things on my food list. But, man, we're just excited to be here. We're excited about what's next for the church. In September, we moved to Lippo Plaza. We'll have all the big announcements about that next week, the launch date, the new service times, a lot of exciting things next week that we'll announce and make official, but that's coming up soon. Even this next week, some of the new chairs are arriving, so those are like getting down to the details, you know, so it's really exciting. It's all coming together, and this series is building up towards that. What's next is not necessarily about what's next with us moving, but that's included. But this is mainly about what's next in your life. What's next in my life? Every single one of us is on a spiritual journey. Everyone in this room. So for every single one of us, there is a next step. All of us could ask in our life, what is next? Where's the next step in this process? Where's the next step on this journey? And we're going to look at some things and talk about where we're going in the journey. Because I believe if you're on a journey, it helps to know where you're going. Anyone agree with me? There's nothing more frustrating than being on a journey and having no idea where you're going. Why would you even keep going? We just flew back from the U.S. The travel was 50 hours. Lima Pulujam. That's a long time. We left Wednesday morning, made on time. We arrived Friday morning, made on time. It was a long trip. 50 hours, one flight was 14 hours, and if you've been on those flights, you're cramped in there, and your knees hurt, and it's uncomfortable, and you're just sitting forever, and it feels like you just watch part of a movie and fall asleep, and then someone brings you some food that you don't like, and you just eat it because you don't know when the next food is coming. You ever eat just because you know, I don't know when I'm eating again. Oh, this is horrible. And then you fall asleep, and then someone brings more food. It's like survival mode. We just have to make it. And knees hurting, back hurting, so tired and sore, and transiting from that flight to another flight that's about 7 or 8 hours. I feel like after a while, I'm walking like the cowboys when they would come off the range after riding horses. And, you know, they're walking with, like, the saddle sores. This is how I'm walking, transiting from one plane to the next. I'm just so sore from sitting so long. It's so tiring and can be so boring sometimes too. But I was thinking, imagine that 50-hour journey not knowing where you're going. Could you imagine if you said, hey, I'm going to go on a 50-hour journey. I'm going to go on a journey for a couple of days. And someone said, where are you going? And you said, I don't know. people would say, what are you, crazy? Why are you going to put yourself through that? Why are you going to do that? But for us, we knew where we were going. We knew at the end of that 50 hours, we would be here on Sunday evening and see all of your beautiful faces here. It gave it purpose. Somebody say, Pastor Chris is talking about me. Because you know it's you, right? There's a purpose to it. And when you know where you're going, when there's a purpose to the journey, you can make it through anything. God gives you that knowing where you're going, it gives you the joy and the peace and the perseverance and the determination. It gives you the hope, the focus, so that, hey, I can sit there and my knees can hurt and I can be tired when I know at the end of all of this, I'm going to see Wejandro, right? There's some meaning to it. There's some purpose. When you know where you're going, you can make it on this journey of life, this spiritual journey. Let me tell you one other thing. One of the nights in our transit, we were in Seoul, Korea, and we stayed in a hotel because the layover was about 12 hours at that point. And we got into the hotel room, and over by the window, we were on the eighth floor. By the window, bolted to the wall were these ropes, like rappelling ropes, like mountain climbing ropes. And they were hooked to these devices called fire escape devices. Have you guys seen these in any hotel rooms? Fire escape devices. It's really a great idea, but it scared me. I was thinking, what is this by the window? And it tells you how to put this harness on, and it has a little hammer to break the glass. The whole idea is, if the building catches on fire, you can go to the window, break the glass, slip on this harness, and jump out the window. That doesn't sound like you don't have any good options. I'm not James Bond or Jason Bourne. I can't rappel out of an eight-story building. But I was thinking at that time, man, if I was facing that situation, fire on this side, a long fall, that's like two worst nightmare situations, right? I was thinking in that situation, I would just be happy to know where I'm going. And I don't mean back to Maidan, I mean heaven, you know? I know where I'm going. I'm going to heaven. It makes it easier to be able to face things when you know where you're going. And sometimes in this journey of life, you may feel like you're stuck between a fire and a long fall. But when you know where you're going in life, you can have the joy to make it. Everything around you can be chaos. There can be no good options on either side. But when you know where you're going, God gives you this joy that Pastor Kerry was talking about, this overwhelming joy that we left the U.S., we have three of our children there, and we come back here, and our joy is here. It's not that we don't miss them, but this is exactly where God wants us to be. And we're doing exactly what God wants us to do. And when you do that, when you find that place, you'll have that joy. Seeing our granddaughter and then saying goodbye and leaving her, and we won't see her till at least next year. We're able to do that because we have this joy. And if I wasn't in jet lag, I would have put pictures all over the slides. Maybe I'll save that for next week. Like, look at Hazel in this outfit and that outfit. We have dozens of pictures. She looks exactly the same, just with different clothes on. You ever notice that when people show you, hey, look at this one. Look, it's the same. It's the same baby. It's the same baby, just different clothes. Are you just showing me clothes? But I may do that next week. I just didn't have time this week. But I want to talk about what's next for us and what's next for you in your life and what that next step is that God wants you to take. And I want to introduce this series by looking at Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. And we've looked at this verse before. It's a very popular verse. It's one of my favorite verses. And we're going to look at it in three different translations so we can get a full picture of what this is meaning for us today. In Proverbs 29, 18, the first version, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, no revelation, no passion, no dream, the people perish, or in a not-so-pretty term, the people die. And not physically die, but meaning if you don't have a vision in this life, it feels like something's dying inside of you. Have you ever been in that place where you feel like your life doesn't matter? You wake up in the morning and you feel like there's no purpose. And maybe like me, you've had those times at night before you find that purpose and you lay there and pray and say, God, why should I even wake up tomorrow? You know, people that have vision don't ever ask those questions. I remember in the time in my life when I had no purpose and my life had no meaning, I remember saying, God, just let me not wake up again. That's because I had no vision. Once you have vision, you never question that again because you know exactly why you're on the earth. You know why you're living. You have a meaning in your life. You know that your life matters. You don't ask those kind of questions. Another version says, where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint. Meaning if you don't have this vision or this revelation, you sort of are living a life in a wild or crazy kind of way. Casting off restraint means having no rules, no boundaries, no limits. Casting off restraint. People who just feel like, hey, this is it. There's nothing after this life, so we might as well party hard and die, and then it's over, right? YOLO. You only live once. The Bible actually tells us that you only live twice. I heard that recently. Someone said, YOLT. That's what the Bible teaches. You only live twice. This life is a very small portion. And then eternity, well, I don't even want to say forever. You know what eternity is. That little bit that we're living here that we stress about and worry about so much, it's such a small piece of our existence. But we get so caught up right here. But this little piece right here has everything to do with that second life. I remember one time, we were in a life group, I guess it was about 20 years ago. So if you're here, and I know there's probably so many people in the room right now, and you're like, Pastor Chris, I'm glad you brought up life group because I want to talk to Kosi and I want to lead a life group next semester. Well, this is giving you some tips. This life group was all about knowing how to share your story or share your faith with someone. So we would meet and we would talk about how to share our testimony with someone and tell them what God's done in our life and maybe ask them what they believe about God or what they believe about eternity. And then we went out to a mall and we just went to find some people to talk to them. And I was with my friend Mark, and I'll never forget this older man we found, and we went to talk to him and ask him his opinion of life and his feeling about God. And he literally said to us, eat, drink, and be merry, right, dudes? Like that was his view on life, just eat, drink, and be merry. And I think our response to him was, party on, Wayne. I don't know if you've seen Wayne's World a long time ago. That wasn't our response. But our response, it was hard to know what to say to him. We talked for a little bit, but he had decided there's nothing after this. So we might as well just eat, drink, and be merry. Actually, that phrase is an expression of hopelessness. Can you imagine how sad and how hopeless a feeling if you thought there's nothing beyond our life here on this big ball of dirt? I mean, what if this was it? How hopeless would that feel? Thank God he promises us that there is so much more. And there is so much more better beyond this. This isn't all it's about. When you look at this, you may feel like in your life, when you think about casting off restraint and having no vision and no purpose and living a wild life with no limits or no boundaries, and you may be thinking about, you know, the chaos in your life and how to get that back in order or how to get your life back together. Sometimes we think the way to get our life together is to add restraints. Or meaning, to get my life together, I need to try to become a good person. A better person. But if you're like me and you've tried that, you know that doesn't work. It doesn't work just to say, man, I need to get my life together. I'm going to be a better person. It doesn't work. To get your life together, you need to find something to live for. That's when you get your life together, when you find something worth living for. How many of you have a friend that talks to you all the time about needing to lose some kilos? Don't raise your hand if I'm that friend. I talk about, I need to lose some weight. I need to go on a diet. I need to quit snacking. I probably shouldn't have eaten all the me I am and the me Hokkien that I've been eating. I think I had like, we've only been here 2 days. I think I had like 20 meals. I don't know. I ate a lot. I was just happy to be back home, you know? But you know, if you've had that friend that's always saying, I need to go on a diet, I need to exercise, I need to lose some kilos, maybe they've been telling you that for years. They never lose 1 kilo, you know? Maybe you are that person like me. I'm that person. But it's different when they go to the doctor and the doctor says, hey, you're going to die if you don't lose some weight. Suddenly, Jayco doesn't call their name anymore. They walk right past Jayco. I don't need the donuts. I don't need the frappuccinos. Because there's some meaning, there's some purpose behind it. It's not just some random, I just need to make this rule in my life. I need to lose some weight. But suddenly, it's a matter of life and death. It's a matter of having something to live for. That's how you can make changes. That's how you can get your life together. Pastor Kerry and I used to smoke before we were Christians, and then even after we were saved, we smoked till we got to a point to where we realized, hey, we can't keep doing this. And it wasn't because we found out smoking was bad for us. We already knew it was bad for us, right? Everyone knows that. You know, and I'm not condemning anyone that smokes, but I will tell you what my pastor told me. He said, I'm not going to tell you that smoking will send you to hell, but wherever you go, you're going to get there faster than me. That sort of sounds theologically right. You know, wherever you go, you're going to get there faster than I am. Because smoking's killing us, right? And I remember this, you know, it didn't matter to us, the health things, this is killing us, whatever. But when our daughter was born, we started reevaluating our life. Man, we can't smoke around our little girl. We can't smoke in the car. She'll breathe in the smoke. Now we need to smoke outside. And then what really pushed us over the top was when Pastor Kerry was pregnant with our son Isaiah. And so then she couldn't smoke at all. That made it very easy for me because she said, Chris, if I can't smoke, you can't smoke. It's not fair. I don't know if it was actually worded like that, but it worked. We quit. But it wasn't just some random rule. We found a purpose. We found a meaning. We had something to live for. We had something to live for. That's how you get your life together. Thinking about this verse in Proverbs 29, that's where the revelation and the vision, the passion in your life, the dream in your life, the direction, it's what drives your life and makes everything you experience worth it. It makes everything worth it because you know exactly where you are going. You know exactly where you're going. It makes you unstoppable. When you find something to live for and God has put this joy inside of you and you have this focus, there can be chaos all around and you're calm. You can't be stopped. There is nothing that can get in your way. The last version of Proverbs 29:18, it says, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, meaning when they do what he says, or when they do what he shows them, they are most blessed. Why are those people most blessed? Because their life matters. Because suddenly they realize that their life has meaning. And here's what God's shown me, and I'm going to do what he's shown me. Now suddenly I am the most blessed because my life has meaning. I have satisfaction in my heart. I have contentment no matter what happens around me. Because I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, I'm where I'm supposed to be, and God is with me. That's what he wants for every single one of us in this room. He wants to give you that joy and give you that contentment, that calm in the midst of the chaos, to fill that hole inside of your life where you just constantly feel like something's missing. Something's not right. I keep waking up and doing the same things and going to sleep and waking up again and doing the same things, and there's some hole there and it's missing. God wants to fill that with purpose. He wants to fill that with joy so that even in the chaos of life, you can be confident knowing that you're going in the right direction. He wants to give you the way of life. Psalm chapter 16, verse 11 says, you will show me the way of life. And listen how good this sounds, the way of life God is talking about. granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever. That's what God wants for you. He has an amazing life planned for you. Don't settle for less. Man, no one in this room, don't settle for just an ordinary life. Don't settle for common. Don't settle for what everyone else in the entire world is settling for. Realize that God has a way of life for you that is going to have joy, and it's going to have the pleasures or the enjoyment of living your life with God every single day with a purpose and with a meaning. The way of life. That's part of my job, and part of Pastor Carey's job is to help you discover that and help you live it. Our four vision points we have here, which is basically what this message is about when we're finding our next steps. There's four places that you will be in life and four steps that might be what's next for you. The first one is know God. We have them on the back wall even. You've seen these around. Know God, find freedom, discover purpose, make a difference. Everything we do here at IC Maidon has to do with those four things. Know God is the number one thing. That's the first step. That's the beginning of everything. And everything we do is so that people who come into this building can know God. Why? Because 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 21 tells us that knowing God is the most important thing in life. The verse says this: some of these people have missed the most important thing in life. They don't know God. And if that is the most important thing in life, then those of us who do know God should spend our life helping people that don't know him, know him. And I believe that everyone wants to know God. Or I believe that everyone, if they really knew who God was, would want to know him. The problem is Christianity has had a bad marketing problem. That sounds too businessy, right? It's had a packaging problem or a presentation problem. Let me show you this illustration. If you walk into a supermarket and you're getting a water, how many of you have walked into a supermarket, Brastagi or Indomaret or somewhere, you want to get a water, and here's the one water. This looks like it's how it's supposed to be. It's packaged right and everything. The presentation's nice. Sometimes you walk in and there's this one water that you don't know where it's been. There's no packaging on it. If you walked in and saw these two waters, which one are you going to buy? This one, right? Because it's presented right. The same contents are in the inside, but this one has a presentation problem. It has a packaging problem. We don't know where this water's been. This one looks scary to me. It has no clothes on. This is a naked water bottle. I don't know what his story's been. I don't even know why he's back in the shelf or in the cooler. What is this even doing there? I mean, everyone's going to pass over that thing because the presentation, the packaging. And I believe that so many people in the city of Maidon and all around the world have not rejected Jesus, but they've rejected how he's been presented to them. The presentation was wrong. The packaging wasn't right. Sometimes we've been made to feel that God is angry with us. Sometimes we've been made to feel that if we don't talk a certain way or walk a certain way or look a certain way, that God's not going to love us, or that we have to earn his love, or that he wants us to get our lives together out there and then come in the building. And if he likes what he sees, he'll give you a hug. If he doesn't like what he sees, he'll kick you back out. A bad presentation. We've got to earn God's love. We better work really hard. We better do everything right so God will love us. That's not even who God is. There's a presentation problem. And if knowing God is the most important thing in life, we've got to present it right. That's why we do things a little bit different here. If you've ever wondered about the things that we do different, it's for a reason. It's because we want to present God in the way that he is. Why is it when you walk in the door, people are smiling and happy to see you? It's because I believe that when you walk in the church, God is smiling and happy to see you. How many of you believe that God is happy to see you when you get here? How many of you have ever walked into a church where no one's smiling, where you even doubted, is God happy I'm here? because no one else is. I've been to those churches. I'm just saying it can present a bad presentation because God is happy that you've come in. We don't have any dress codes here. It's for a purpose. It doesn't mean the way I dress is better than any other way. If you feel more comfortable wearing a tie and a suit, I want you to feel free to do that. If you want to wear jeans, wear jeans. If you want to wear shorts, wear shorts. If you want to wear a full suit with a vest and a tie, wear that. Because God doesn't care what we wear coming in here. He only cares that you've come in. And he is happy to see you. Can I just tell every single one of you today that God is happy to see you? He's happy that you've come in here. He wants you to be here. He wants you to know him because he loves you and he knows you. So knowing God, we could go on and on there, but I better not, right? We need to wrap it up tonight sometimes. The second one, find freedom. Knowing God is the first step to finding freedom. Because finding freedom is through Jesus. John chapter 8, verse 36 says, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Every one of us in this room can probably think of that one thing in our life that if we could get free from it, it would make our life better. And nobody say your husband or wife. Come on, guys, we're in church. But everyone has something. Everyone has that one thing. Man, if I could get free from this, everything would work. Finding freedom here normally works out through our life groups. That's the focus of life groups. Because often in church, when we meet in the lobby of the church, you know, and someone says, hey, how are you doing? And you say, blessed. How are you doing? I'm even more blessed. Then we come in here, we sit down, we stand up, we worship, we hear the message, and we leave. In life groups, you can get together with a smaller group of people and you can take your mask off and you can say, you know what? I'm not okay. I've got some problems. And the other people in the room will take their mask off also and say, you know what? I've got problems too. You know how I can guarantee that? Because we all have problems. And then you can say, hey, here's my issues. Hey, here's mine. Let's help each other work through these things. And that's how you find freedom. You can't get free when you keep the mask on and keep it hidden. But in small groups, in settings where you can be comfortable and get to know some people and open up and not being afraid, I need to be free because God has a purpose for my life. There's a meaning for my life. I've got to be free so I can do those things. Man, when we launched Icy Maidan, when we started the small group in our house, the number one focus, the first thing we started to do before we ever talked about planting the church was I started working on getting this group of people that's come to my house free. Getting them free because I knew if we are free from the things we're dealing with, we can start a church. So once everyone was free, we did it. Because you've got to have freedom in your life. The third one is discover purpose. Mark Twain, a very popular author from several decades ago, said the two most important days of your life are the day you were born and the day you find out why. The day you were born and the day you find out why. Why am I here? Why am I on the earth? Why did God create me? Why was I born? Why am I in Maidan in 2019? What is the purpose for all of this? When you discover that, God will fill your life with joy and you'll have peace and you'll have purpose. Galatians chapter 6, verses 4 through 5 says, make a careful exploration of who you are. Explore who you are. What are you passionate about? What skills and giftings has God given you? Explore who you are in Christ. What does the Bible say about who we are when we are the sons and daughters of God? And carefully explore the work you have been given and then sink yourself into that. Find out who you are, what makes you tick, what gets you excited, what you're passionate about, what God has put you on the earth to do, and then you sink yourself into that and do that for the rest of your life. Man, you'll be so full of joy. And this gives some good advice after that. Don't be impressed with yourself. Man, that's a problem we all have as humans. We get too impressed with ourselves. You know, we come into church like this, man, I've got so many problems. I need to get free from so much stuff. And slowly as we get free from those things and then we start serving on the team and we start doing some ministry, you've seen, then we start walking different. And then it's like, I've always been holy. I don't understand this sin thing. I've never been there. I'm holy. Well, you know, we get impressed by ourselves and we get arrogant and sombong and self-righteous. I love hearing the sound of my own voice. Holy, holy. You've seen people like that. I'm holier than you, and I'm holier than you. And I'm, you know, that thing he's telling us, hey, here's what you need to do. Find out what your purpose is. Find out who you are. Be careful not to be too impressed with yourself, because I'm still the one working through you. And then he says, don't compare yourself with others, because comparison kills your passion. And if anyone in here today is comparing yourself, you're comparing everything you do with the people around you, can I just encourage you to stop doing that? It will kill the passion. But I can tell you, even for what I'm called to do, I'm called to preach God's word. If I look around at everyone else, I love T.D. Jakes. I don't preach like T.D. Jakes. If I look at T.D. Jakes or other pastors and compare myself, man, that can make me feel like, hey, I can't even do this. Whatever it is in your life where God said, hey, here's what I want you to do, and you start doing it and you look around and you're like, well, I don't do it like that, or I don't do it like this, man, it can kill that passion. But it goes on and says, instead, each of you must take responsibility for doing the creative best you can with your own life. God wants you to be you. He wants you to be you, not be someone else looking around, who do I need to be like? No, God wants you to be you and let him work through you. And the fourth and final one, and this is the one we're going to spend a little bit of time with, is make a difference. Make a difference. John chapter 15, verse 8. Says, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So he's saying it gives God glory when you do what you've been created to do, when you live on purpose, when you live on mission, when you represent him well, when you show yourself as a disciple. You have a mission. And when you do that mission, it gives God glory. Verse 11 says, I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. So he's saying, hey, you've got a purpose. You've got a meaning to your life. There's something I want you to do. There's a mission. I want you to find it. I want you to do that with your life. When you do that, God is going to get the glory. And I'm telling you this because if you do it, my joy will be inside of you. And your joy will be made complete. Man, when you find what you're here for, when you find what your purpose is, when you start making a difference, because you can't find true joy in this life until you begin to use your life to make a difference. You can't find this true joy that we're talking about until you begin to use your life to make a difference in the lives of others. The church is where we mobilize and prepare and equip. We encourage one another, and then we go out together to make a difference. Carrie and I were able to be in a conference while we were back home, and one of the speakers was John Maxwell. If you read leadership books, he's written tons of leadership books and just a really great speaker, great communicator. Man, our son Isaiah had a friend that gave us the hookup. We had such good seats. We were like on the third row from John Maxwell. We were close enough that when he spoke, his spit could hit me in the forehead. That was like the anointing. I was like, spit more, get more on me. You know, we were close. Man, like, this is awesome. We are so close to John Maxwell. And everything he shared was so amazing. But one of the descriptions he gave of the church, I thought was one of the best that I've ever heard in my life. He said, the church is one of the few organizations focused on its non-members. Listen to that again. The church is one of the few organizations focused on its non-members. Church isn't about us. If you're in here and you're a Christian, it's not even about us. Church is about the people that aren't here yet. That's why we say if we come in here on a Sunday and we look around and we know everyone, we failed. Because our whole purpose is to help people that don't know God know Him. And remove all the obstacles and make it as easy as possible for them to come in and know Him. That's the whole purpose. The church is for the non-members so we can make a difference. Man, just one pastor can make a small difference. Me and Pastor Kerry together could make a little bit more of a difference. But IC Maidan right now is almost 900 people. Imagine 900 of us out making a difference. What an impact that would have on the city of Maidan. And God gets the glory. And the bonus is we get filled with His joy. And we get to live this life with His joy inside of us. All of this is about finding our ultimate purpose. In Acts chapter 20, verse 24, it says, I don't care about my own life. The most important thing is that I complete my mission, the work that the Lord Jesus gave me, to tell people the good news about God's grace. In Acts 1:8, it says, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That means you'll be His witness. Witness to what? Witness to what He's done in your life. And you'll tell those that are close to you, those who are a little bit further out, and all the way to the ends of the earth. So our three ways that we make a difference. Number one, make a difference in my world. You're going to make a difference in your world. Your circle of friends, family members, co-workers, classmates. Mark chapter 5 verse 19 says, go home to your family and friends. Tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how He has had mercy on you. Man, that's all you have to know. You don't need to have a theological degree. You don't need to be able, you know, sometimes people say, I can't witness to someone because I don't know the whole Bible. I don't have the answers to everything in the Bible. I don't either. But what you need to know is what He's done in your life. And that's all you're told to go and tell. Hey, go tell someone what Jesus has done for you. Tell your story. Don't go and tell them what's wrong with their story. Oh, you need to clean up your act. That's wrong. That's messed up. No, just tell them, hey, I used to have problems in my life, and God helped me. I used to need to be free from this, and Jesus set me free. I didn't have purpose, and He gave me purpose and filled me with joy. Man, would you just share your story? That will make a difference. The second thing, make a difference beyond my world. That's outside of your circle, outside of the group of normal people you would hang out with. Maybe people that are different from you, a different suku, a different ethnicity, different background, maybe different view of the world, different beliefs. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 22 says, whatever a person is like, I try to find common ground with him, so that he will let me tell him about Christ and let Christ save him. Finding common ground. We have to stop looking at what's different with people and start looking for what's the same. If we look for differences with people, we'll always find differences. But if you look for what is the same, you're going to find that. We want to be a church that builds bridges, not walls. Find common ground, building bridges into the lives of people all over the city. Find what's common. I found a very interesting meme. This was just yesterday, so this is a bonus for you that I didn't have planned. And it's just a little funny thing, but this is the bear talking, not me, okay? You see the bear is at a picnic table. He has a fork and a knife. And this bear found something in common with all humans. He says, white, black, man, woman, straight, gay, Catholic, Muslim, American, Mexican, all taste like chicken. I don't know, but that's what the bear said. He just found something common. They all taste the same to the bear. But in reality, I mean, we can find similarities with all people. It doesn't matter where they're from. It doesn't matter the background. Here's some things. If you're trying to build bridges so you can share your story with someone, just know this. Everyone is looking for joy. It doesn't matter who they are, where they're from, what language they speak. Everyone is looking for joy. Everyone is looking for peace. Everyone is looking for hope. You can talk to anyone about hope. Everyone's looking for it. Everyone wants what's best for their families. And you can talk about family with anyone. That's a bridge. And everyone tastes like chicken, apparently. Can I ask the worship team to come up? The final one is this: make a difference in the whole world. So you'll make a difference in your world, make a difference beyond your world, and make a difference in the whole world. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 says, Jesus said to his followers, go everywhere in the world and tell the good news to everyone. That's part of our mission, part of our purpose, that every single one of us in this room would go tell everyone what God has done for us. To go tell everyone, not just the people in your circle, even beyond your circle. And if you're called to do so, even to the ends of the earth, telling people everywhere what Jesus has done. Maybe it's inviting your family and friends to church. Maybe God's been putting in your heart someone that you want to invite to church. Because maybe you feel like, I want to share some of these things with someone in my family. I know they need to hear about this joy. I know they need to know that their life matters and that they were created with a purpose, that their life has a meaning. And I want them to hear it, but I don't know if I can explain it like this. Just invite them to church. Invite them, say, hey, will you come sit with me next Sunday? I really think this will help your life if you hear this. And don't worry if they speak English or not. Man, if they don't speak English, we're going to come up with some solutions for that soon. But even if they don't speak English, you can just translate it to them. Then you can edit me and you can make me sound a whole lot better. Apa itu tastes like chicken? Don't worry about it. It didn't matter. The dumb joke. Just tell the good parts. We all look better, right? Just translate it. The other thing is this. I know that God works beyond languages. It doesn't matter. If you bring a family member in here and they don't understand a word that I say, it's not important. God can still touch their life. The Holy Spirit's still going to move. Pastor Carrie has shared this story before, but her mom's from Okinawa, Japan, and moved to the U.S. And her first Sunday in church, she didn't speak English. She couldn't understand one word the pastor said, but God touched her life and she accepted Jesus. Don't be afraid. Hey, test God. See what he will do. There's nothing impossible for him. Invite people to come with you. Be involved. Grow Track coming up. Man, if you're looking for this purpose and you want this joy that I'm talking about, find ways to be involved. Be in Growth Track. Serve Day will come up in October, and we're going to go out and serve the communities. When those sign-up sheets come out, if you're free that Saturday, sign up. We're going to go out and bless the city. We're going to go and do things for people. We're not going to go and ask for anything. We're not going to go and tell people that we need this or we need that. No, we're going to represent God in the right way, and we're going to do things for people and be a blessing. 21 Days of Prayer is coming up. That will also be in October. We'll have prayer nights and worship nights. Any of those nights that you're available, come and join us. It will be at the new place at Lippo Plaza. All of these things are to give you opportunities to take next steps, to get closer to God, to build that relationship so that you can make a difference, so that you can live on the mission that God created you for. Would you stand with me, please? God really wants you to have this joy. He really wants you to have this focus, knowing what your life is all about. And let me encourage you with one last thing before I pray for you. Don't measure your life by what's now. Don't measure your life by what's now. Measure your life by what's next. Don't measure your life by where you are at this moment. Measure your life by where you're going in this next step. Every single one of us have a next step. Every single one of us could know God more. Every single one of us can have more freedom in our life. Every single one of us can find more purpose. And every single one of us can make a difference. Can we close our eyes together? Maybe you're here this evening and you haven't taken that first step, you would say, Pastor Chris, I don't know God. I've never asked Jesus to come into my life and save me. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you to repeat a prayer. But if you would, if you want to make that decision this evening, just write it on your no God card and drop it in the offering bucket when it comes around. And I'll pray for you this week. And I want you to know, when you make that decision that you say, I want to know God, all of your sins are removed. You get to start a new life, a new beginning. The old is gone. All things become new for you. If you're here today and you need to be free from something in your life, let me just encourage you, find someone you can talk to. When life group semester comes back, get in a life group. If you try the first one and you're not comfortable, go to another one. Because the main point is that you find a group that you're comfortable with so you can take the mask off and get free from the things that are holding you back. You have a mission. You have something to be doing. Your life has meaning. Your life matters.
This is the end of the message today. Thank you again for listening to our podcast.